Well, I said, praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? That's right. Let's give him a great big clap offering. He's worthy. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. There is a moving of the Holy Ghost in this room. In fact, I want you to know that I just received two text messages. One just now from a pastor that doesn't even know I'm here. And one earlier this morning. And both of them said, I don't know what this really means. This last one said to me, I don't know what this really means, but God woke me up this morning to pray for you. I don't know what that means. And then another pastor sent me a message early this morning and said, Brother Jones, I believe you got a word from God to the Moorhead Church. So I feel comfortable in the spirit, but yet very frightening. Amen. And I just want to walk in the spirit today, if that's all right. Amen. I give Bishop Nielsen and his wife honor. What a wonderful lesson this morning. He had stirred me in the Holy Ghost. In fact, after service or between services, I talked with him and I just felt such a spirit of God moving forward in unity. We concurred that God is doing miraculous things, amen, and is about to do phenomenal things that we have not yet seen. In fact, the scripture says, I have not seen, and we have not even heard or even entered into our hearts, amen, with the things of God. And that's a frightening place, but it's all right, because God is frightening, amen, but he's not mean. He's a little scary once in a while. I'm all right with that. Amen. Because, amen, he's God. And he's able to do all kinds of things and great things. And I believe today God is going to finalize something in your life. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, I give your pastor also honor. Thank you, Brother and Sister Joyce, for the privilege. And I feel it's an honor, especially when they're away, that he had trusted my wife and I to be in this pulpit. And I don't take this very lightly. Amen. And I preached in this pulpit many times for Brother Nielsen. That was many years ago. We had a lot of fun, a lot of revivals, a lot of things that God has done. Amen. If you are standing, you may as well just turn to the scripture text in chapter Mark chapter 16 and verse 1, and I'm not preaching to you an Easter message, but however, I want to draw our attention to something that is very significant, that it's not just that we read on the day of Easter, but has changed the rest of our lives, and I want to preach to you something here today for you to recognize, amen, once again, how powerful our God is. Praise God. Well, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come to anoint him. It was a type of worship. It was a type of honor. They have taken things of their own that were very precious, and they came down to the grave and where Jesus was buried. But there was an obstacle. And it appears to me throughout my life with living for God, 47 years, is that there seems to be obstacles. Oh, hallelujah. There seems to be resistance when we would open our mouth to praise him, to give him thanks. And it was very early in the morning on the first day of the week, and they came onto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, finally, they considered an obstacle that they were going to face, but it already they were going forward. They were already made up their mind what they were about to do. And they did not consider, it wasn't even in their thoughts, amen, the obstacle they were about to face until the moment of time. And they said unto themselves, well, who is going to roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? It's a great question. It was something that they were to face. It was a very, very grave difficulty, and they knew that was beyond their own ability. So they were asking the who. Brother Nielsen alluded to the who. And we know that in the book of Galatians, that who was the resistance of the church, and that was Satan himself. But I want to introduce to you another who. Who is going to roll the stone away? I don't want to preach to you today. God still moves stones. Put your Bibles down and let us pray and earnestly pray and pray and give God permission to finalize your commitment in the things that you have already decided in your heart and mind to do. No matter how difficult it is, oh Lord, we pray right now that your spirit will move, oh God, in a way that's never moved on the face of this earth. There's men and women, and God in this service today, Lord, is about, oh God, to go beyond, hallelujah, the grave, and God, to go beyond their own ability, God, because they are trusting in you, but God, as they have faced the obstacles in the past, but today, God, we're going to push through the obstacle because we know the who, amen, and we know, God, that you are able to still move that stone. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, somebody say yes. Hallelujah. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. How many times have you decided to move forward? And I can recall the first time that I have realized that I need to leave the places where I have spent most of my time in the younger years of my life. In fact, I was just talking to Pastor Simons the other day, and we were reminiscing a little bit. And I've been living for God for 47 years. I turned to God when I was in my 20s. That means I lived for God longer than I, amen, that I wasn't. And it seems to me, and I said, you know, past Brother Simons, it seems to me those 5 short years between the ages of 12 all the way up to 20, or 15 to 21, 22, that those were probably the longest years of my life as I remembered them. And the reason why is because they're the most difficult lifetime to navigate through the chaos, the drug world, and all the sin that has enveloped me in darkness. Amen. And how many times have I tried, or at least in my mind, thinking there's got to be a way out of this, and that you will try to turn your back away, amen, and to walk somewhere into a place, amen, to where it would save you. I did not know the Savior, and most of us had probably not as well. But how many of us had turned our back away from those things that it was trying to and to destroy us and put us into slavery, amen, and try to stop us from living life? And I can remember those years that was most difficult, and it was the longest years of my life. But I got news for you that I went to the who. Yeah. When I found the who, it did not matter how it was going to happen. Because when I found the who, which is Jesus Christ, I wasn't considered how he was going to do it. But I wanted to know who it was. Amen. And his name was Jesus Christ. When I found who he was. Oh, somebody help me here today. Amen. We got to get back on track. Amen. And quit looking at how it's going to happen. Amen. And put our time on who is going to do it. Who is going to roll away the stone? Oh, hashata kayara maha. And how many times have we started out? Turn our back away from all those distractions and to find ourselves feeling. And you know what I'm talking about. All of a sudden you feel those things behind you chasing you down. This morning we were walking into church this morning, and Sister Nielsen had no idea that there was two people behind her. And she was making her way to navigating, and I kind of felt like if I said something, I probably would scare her pretty bad. But Miss Olivia, as she was approaching behind her, she was catching up, and so she felt, amen, that it was intuitive to at least say hi. And when she said hi, Sister Nielsen jumped back, and they go, oh, who is behind me? Amen. And he scared me. Of course, Olivia was very apologetic, but I was still not saying a word. I was just standing there as they were discussing how frightening that was, and that I wish I would never have greeted her in the way that I did. And I was still standing, and all of a sudden, Sister Nielsen, who else is behind me? And I did not make a sound. I was as quiet as can be, wasn't it? Did you didn't even know? And she turned, and, oh, Brother Jones. And I go, how did she know that? And so when we turn our back away from those distractions and those things and start walking forward, somehow, church, we sense that enemy and those things that is trying to take us back down Isaiah and try to turn us back around towards those obstacles or that sin. Amen. And how many times we look back and we see or feel the taskmaster, amen, to envelop us, and they would say things to us, and we will make our decision at that point, that junction in the road, amen, and now that we had turned back, amen, that we have been captivated again and enslaved again by those things, come on, somebody, that we walked away from, amen, whatever it is, amen, the mental capacity or the anxiety or those emotions saying you cannot do it. Claim to you a message from God. Oh, hallelujah. And I try not to get ahead of myself, because actually I only have a few words to tell you, but unfortunately for us, amen, that if I only said about 4 or 5 words and said you're dismissed, you feel like, amen, you got dressed for nothing. So therefore, I'm going to mix a little words, amen, and make it a little longer, amen, so you feel like you've been in church. Amen. But let us go to Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13, if you will. 730 years of enslavery. And generation after generation, men only knew the feel of the whip on their back if they had not performed according to the duties of their taskmaster. Only, amen, and then years ago later, we find that the moms, amen, will have their baby boys ripped out of their hand and cast into the river to die because of the enslavery, the sin, the chaos of the world. 430 years or 730 years of this bondage. It was very hard to get out of that thinking because it's ingrained. Oh, somebody help me here today. So ingrained in our mind and our spirit that we cannot get away, amen, from our past or from our mistakes. Somebody need to hear this preacher here today. Amen. So many times we feel in our spirit, and it's locked in our mind, that we can never escape our failures. Amen. That we would get up and try to go forward in God, only to be pulled back. Amen. From last year's taskmaster. Amen. That has a whip in his hand. You can sense it in the back of you. But I'm here to proclaim to you, don't turn around and say, who's back there? But go forward and say, who's in front of me? Who can roll away the stone of the impossibility? I got something I got to do. I got something in my spirit that God's telling me to go forward. Amen. Past the grave. Oh, see. Oh, let's worship him right now. The Spirit of the Lord moved in this place. Oh, God, I need you right now.
Come on, you can't do it, but let the Spirit of the Lord work on your behalf.
Oh, Hashita Kariya Mahashita.
So we find that finally God calls a savior to Egypt, begins to harden the heart of Pharaoh after so many miracles. I'm here to tell you so many miracles have happened in this church in the past, but the greatest miracle is yet to come. Amen. And it, oh, ha ha, sitoramaha, yasitoramaha. And the who of this world is trying to stop the church from moving forward. But I know the who of the greatest. I know the one, amen, that can do great things beyond our imagination. I know the who. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And the who of this world is in subjection. Amen. Because all that who of the world is just a fallen angel that God cast down to this earth.
It has no power, no authority to stop the church from moving forward.
That tells me, son, if you're in the church, there ain't nothing stopping, amen, you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Rise up. Be strengthened right now. There is no obstacle. Move the stone.
Oh my God, it's about fixing to do some miracles in your life right now. You don't have to wait for me to finish this message.
Now we find that Pharaoh says, okay, go. I got tired of you. I got tired of your God. Amen. I see the power of your God. Amen. And our people can't stand. I'm here, got news for you. Satan cannot stand. Amen. When God's people stands up and begin to proclaim the victory, amen, of the Lord. But here's the problem. Pharaoh says, yeah, you can move on. Amen. I'll let you go because I cannot stand your God and the power of your God. And church, amen, in this congregation, you have seen the power of God move mountains, destroy enemies, amen, cause the frogs to come, amen, turn the rivers into blood. Coming, somebody help me here today. You've been tormenting the devil, but the devil has not been letting you go. And God has already said, you free. Where it's locked in is right here in your mind. So yeah, he'll let you go for a little while. And God has given you a promise. And he's given you a deliverer. And he's marching you on into a place, amen, where you've never been before. And it's a frightening place. It's a place of the unknown. But God has given it to you, church. And you need to understand and log that down. Amen. Because he's not repenting, amen, of the things he promised you, amen, in this congregation. Amen. And it doesn't matter, amen, what stone is in the way. It doesn't matter what obstacle is in the way. God still has his promise. And he's still going to do it. With you or without you. So if he's just going to do it with me or without me, I'd just soon have him to do it with me. But you see, Satan is trying to turn you around.
That's why the Lord says, repent of your sins. Amen. It's not confessing your sins. You've been confessing your sins a long time ago. Amen. But he says, repent, meaning you turn away. And that not only turn away from your sins, but you turn away from those things that are distracting you. You turn away from those things that Satan's whispering in your ear, get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. You want them behind you. The problem is, as Israel himself has faced as they were leaving Egypt, they still were sensing, when's the other shoe going to drop? Like it always happened. I've did this before. I've been down this road before. And you're expecting the other shoe to drop. You're expecting somebody to try to turn you around and discourage you because it's happened before. Amen. And no matter, and he's going to try something new, but you know back in your mind, it says, well, amen, I don't know if I can do this. And there's some doubt because all of you are feeling a sense of something behind you. Amen. That's haunting you. I'm here to proclaim to you my messages. You quit looking behind you. Amen. Your enemy is not behind you. Amen. God is in front of you. Somebody said this, amen, your front windshield is bigger than the rear view mirror, amen, of your car. I'm going forward, sir, amen, I'm not looking back. I don't know what's going to face me tomorrow, but I know who's got it. Oh, am I preaching to somebody today? So here's the words I got for you. As Moses said to the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of God. Which he will show you today. Today is your salvation. Words are not penned loosely by the writer, but he had an understanding that God can do it. Today is the day of your salvation. And he will show you. Watch this. For the Egyptians, for your enemies, for your taskmasters, who you have seen today, ye shall see them. Do you believe that, church? Or is it just words that's penned in the Bible? Amen. That you cannot believe. I'm here to tell you it's not a fairy tale. Amen. It's not a rainbow. Amen. Hey, come on, somebody. It's not just a Sunday school story. But God still moves today. He still moves the stone. The Lord shall fight for you. You shall hold your peace. What he's saying is this. Quit being so negative. Quit saying, oh, I can't do it. And I know the other shoe is going to drop. Quit, amen, being a naysayer when some young man or some young lady has a vision or an idea or a thought. Go hot preaching to you today. Quit naysaying, says, well, son, you know, you're a little lofty there, it's a little high. I'm here to tell you, God can do the impossible. You got to dream bigger than that. You got, I have not seen it. I was just telling Brother Nielsen, I says, I've walked down some corridors, amen, that were so frightening that even the people around me did not understand the things that God had me to do and the things I was involved in. I was criticized. I was ostracized, but I knew what God wanted. Sometimes, when God calls you to do great things, there's some people around you
that don't have enough sense to keep their mouth shut. But I'm here to tell you, they're going to hold their peace. And you need to hold your peace. Amen. And quit saying that I can't do it. Well, God, I'm just a nobody. Amen. I just call somebody, hear this today. I never was brought up in this Pentecost. I can't be that preacher you want me to be. I cannot be that missionary. I cannot be that soul winner. I just come out, amen, of a drug-addicted world. I'm here to proclaim to you that's exactly what God wants to use. In the Holy Ghost. I hope I don't step on anybody's toes. If they are, get your feet out. Somebody sent me a message that Brother Jones, don't hold back. Just preach it. Well, I'm about to diffuse some of your excuses. Some of you have been living in some abusive situations. Some of you have been suppressed and you're feeling in your spirit, well, you know, if I was set free of all this, I can do those things. That's an excuse from hell. There is no greater opportunity for God to do a miracle than in your life and to use you in the obscurity and your oppression. Why? Because God can do miracles in your chaos. Well, I think you need scripture for that, so I may as well give it to you. In the beginning, God. That's all I need to tell you. Go home now. But he says, in the earth was void, darkness. Some of you feel like there's void and darkness in your life, and you're saying, I can't be used to God. That's a lie from hell. Because all of a sudden, the next few words of God and the Spirit begin to move. God still moves. He still moves in a drug-addicted world. He still moves, amen, when there's chaos and homosexuality. I got news for you. You think that God can't do nothing with that? Well, you're wrong. I was not too long in a service, and I was preaching, and I felt something in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And there were several visitors there, and some that didn't even know what the lifestyle they were in. But I said, somebody can receive the Holy Ghost right now. That was my introduction to them. And all of a sudden, two ladies sitting there speaking in other tongues for the first time. The Spirit of God begins to move in chaos. And I turned over to my left. I says, and it said, what hindereth you to be baptized? I didn't know that lady. I just come on preaching. I start preaching, you know, a bunch of words because you didn't want to dismiss them too early. I don't know what I said, some gibble gloss. I was just probably speechifying or something. And all of a sudden, I turned back, and she's repentant of their sins, this lady over here, crying. And I said, well, what? I didn't do nothing. I didn't even get preaching. And the Spirit of God began to move on the face of darkness. So don't you tell me that God cannot move in your chaos. Don't you tell me that God cannot use you, amen, in the depressed state that you're in, or the life, amen, that was dealt to you. I'm here to tell you, God does his greatest miracles, amen, if you're just willing to say yes. Wants to move the stone out of your life right now. Before that service was over, she was baptized in Jesus' name. God filled her with the Holy Ghost in the tank. Unbeknown to me, but she was living an alternative lifestyle in homosexuality. And God changed her just like that. So in the chaos of the world where homosexuality is running rapid, I'm here to tell you God is calling them out. Why? Because there's a hunger. There's a desire. The Spirit of God is moving in their chaos. Don't you count somebody out, and don't you be counted out. In another service, Brother Joyce,
I didn't even get a chance to preach. And I was just kind of looking around in the congregation, and the Spirit of God began to overcome me, and the prophecy began to go forth. Amen. And the Spirit of God began to move. Amen. And I looked over again to my left. And there was a girl from the Dominican Republic. Amen. That's here on a work visa that just arrived. Amen. Short hair. Amen. Earrings everywhere. A scowl on her face. And all of a sudden, I got the Spirit of the Lord move upon me. I didn't know it, so I got boldness. I walked down off that platform. I walked up to that lady. I said, I don't know what's going on, but I want you to know God knows your heart, and He knows your spirit. And I laid my hand, and she began to, that hardness began to soften. Amen. My Bible says He's going to do that. Unbeknown known to me, she repented. Unbeknown known to me, she was also of the other alternative lifestyle. And she's in a Bible study right now and yet to get baptized. And yet all going to receive the Holy Ghost. Why? Because God still moves the stone away. Well, that's just a side note because I just need to fill in. So back to Exodus, we read this. Oh, hallelujah, I feel the power of God. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 15, so why are you crying unto me? Didn't I already give you the authority? No, what's happening here is that Pharaoh and his army decided, you know what? I changed my mind. And that's how Satan is. He lets you go for a little while. Let you have your little thing. Get a good taste of what God can do. And then he comes chasing behind you. And you sense it in your spirit. And all of a sudden, they're up against something that they'd never seen before. And it feels like they're at a dead end. Have you ever been down that road? And you're saying, God, I tried. And oh, there's a stone in the way. There's water and sea in the way. And God, it's the impossibility. God, I don't know. And I'm not even sure if I can even believe you. Oh, God, you can believe the word of God when he spoke to you, sir. Don't you ever doubt him, no matter what circumstance comes. God speaks to me, which is very, very, well, let me just put it this way. I don't have time for that. I'm not going to go down that road. But I had God whisper to me some very unusual things. And I write them down and send them off to people and they come true. I forget. I don't even know what I wrote and sent off. And they said, Brother Jones, you know, this is this thing that you sent to me. He says, it's just happening right now. I go, what was that? And you said this. I go, I don't remember saying that. I said, well, it's right there. You see, in the spirit, Brother Nielsen, it's not about the one that gives it. I forget. You know, and when God begins to speak to me of something, all the devils in hell try to change that. Try to tell me that's in the flesh. Tell me that God can't move in those ways. And Brother Nielsen, you had the answer to the question. We're living in the last days. You better expect signs and wonders. You better expect miracles. You better expect God opening doors that no man could shut. And you better have enough courage to walk into it. God don't talk just because he has nothing else to do. Where was I? So he says, Moses, why are you asking me this question? You see what I gave you already? It's in your hand.
that ought to speak volumes to us. He said, no, just hold that up against that obstacle and stand still and see my miracle. And all the time, all those naysayers are saying, Moses, what are you doing? He said, our enemy is behind us. We better just go back to where we were. And God says, it's not happening on my watch. Church, you don't go back from your call, God. The miracles and the things that God has asked you to do, it may be frightening and scary. You might be standing against obstacles you never met before. But you know what? That's where God works the best. What do you have in your hand? He held it up. Oh, so they're just standing there, kind of like, whoa, don't you be amazed at the things that God is doing? Just go forward. Don't question the miracle of God. Don't sit down with him and say, well, Lord, is that you? By the way, those things that God, how he does it, is way beyond how we would think it was going to happen. They thought they were going to die. Sometimes when we come up against those things, we think that we're going to die. But death, God destroyed that long time ago. Thus we go back. Who's going to roll away the stone? And when they got there, the stone was rolled away. And when they walked in there, I'm being, see, I have not seen, neither is entered into the heart. And when they expected the things that they thought there was going to be, wasn't there. Because there was a resurrection. It was bigger. Oh, God, help us. He shot. I got to finalize this thing. Church, it's all locked up in your mind. And in your genetics of what has happened in the past. But God doesn't consult your past to determine your future. He does not sit down and consult with your mistakes and your failures to determine his next move. He has not even thought of it. He has not even looked at it. Well, what he is looking at is the things that you can do and the things he asks you to do. And we just about do it anyway if we just have enough sense, amen, and enough God in us, amen, to step forward, amen, beyond our mistakes and our failures. But you see, we got that thing behind us. Think the Red Sea was something that God is going to judge us with, but that Red Sea became the greatest miracle. I'm here to tell you, church, the greatest obstacle that you face, you don't realize how powerful it is and how influential it is for your future. They said, well, Brother Jones, I just as well not go through those things. Then you don't want to grow and you don't want to see the miracles of God, because it takes the adversity and the difficulties, amen, to understand the power and the authority of what God can do. And watch this. And the Egyptians, verse 18, shall know that I am the Lord. You need to say, Satan, get thee behind me. Because there's a God that I know that you're about to see and understand how powerful he is in just a moment. And it's going to happen in this altar service. It's time for you to tell your past that you have a God bigger than your past. Oh, hallelujah. verse 18. And the angel of God, I want to stop there, because there's angels in this room right now. And there's angels all about you of the child of God. I believe in angels. I believe strongly in angels. I felt angels. I have entertained angels unaware. And it wasn't until later, amen, that God revealed to me, son, I sent an angel to you. 2 times my wife has been there. And we just got to understand it was a human being. That was a manifestation. I don't know. You got time for this? But you know, here's the thing, Brother Nielsen. You know, all those years you and I lived for God and all those things that we experienced, we never really tell anybody much about it. And the reason why is because we don't want to tell. We don't want to exploit ourselves. We want to exploit God. But God is saying to us today, you need to tell the things that I've done for you. You got to let them know the miracles. And one time my wife and I pastored in a little small church, discouraged. And we're always the first one there and the last one to leave. And the people that they sometimes would show up, sometimes they wouldn't show up. We, you know, it's just a small congregation. And one time my wife and I drove up in the parking lot, and there was this old van. This we call it a hippie van back then. It was one of those enclosed Chevrolet vans, you know, with no windows, and people stay in them, you know, that don't have a home. That back then, you know, they didn't call us homeless. They just called them hippies. Right, Brother Nielsen? We didn't know where we were going to stay, you know. Just like, if we got a van, we can stay there. We got a home, you know. And that's what it was. We just kind of stared out the windshield and, you know, wondering what that was all about. And we weren't frightened. We got out and unlocked the door and walked in, my daughter, my wife, and I. And about 2 minutes later, the door opens up, and here's this man, I would say 30s. I mean, not scary, not dressed, uncomfortable. He was kind of casual dress, and he walks and had just such a nice spirit about him. And he just stood there in the vestibule by the door. And as the door opens, I kid you not, he was the greeter. He held out his hand, you know, welcome to people to come in. And, of course, they're all church people coming in. They're kind of like, trying to figure out who this guy was, you know. And he sat in the congregation. I can feel the people were uncomfortable, but I wasn't uncomfortable at all. I preached my heart out like I always did. No response to them, like it always happened. Everybody filtered out early, you know, and my wife and I were so, here's that man sitting there in the back, and he walks up to me. And he has something in his hand, and he reaches out to shake, and we were like hurting financially, and he shakes my hand, and there was a wad of money in his hand, and he gave it to me, and he looked at me in the eye, and he goes, Pastor, I don't understand why this church isn't filled. You have preached the best message I've ever heard, and this city needs to hear it. And he turned around and walked away. My spirit just lifted. And my wife got in a vehicle, and we drove away, and the Lord spoke to me. He says, I just want you to know, I sent you an angel. I began to weep, began to cry. I said, God. But that's what he does. Just recently in service, I was in, and there was, and I just got bold in the Holy Ghost. And the music team was walking up, and God says, you stop them. Stop them before they get in the platform. I want you to speak to them. I says, all right, you know, I mean, I'm not in charge here. So I want you to talk to them. He says, I got something to say that I think God wants you to hear. I says, tonight. I says, when you sing, I don't want you just to sing. But I want you to worship like you've never worshipped before. And I don't remember saying this. They told me this later. I says, and the angels are going to sing. I didn't know I said that. Well, I look over here, and there's this lady that I found out later. She is like FaceTiming the service to her and I that's a long story, but her sister, which is in church, her dad was at home, and he couldn't come to church, so they're FaceTiming, and there was no preaching. The music just blew up. People were just worshiping. And I get a text on my phone from the lady that is, because I knew who they were, and she knows my wife, and it could kind of, and she sends to me and said, "Brother, I want you to know that we're FaceTiming. I cannot see any. I mean, I can see, but there's nothing happening, you know, because people worshiping. And I hear angels singing. There was no music. I go, what?" He says, "I hear angels singing through FaceTime. I'm here to tell you, in the last days, God still moves. The stones being moved and obstacles being moved away. Why? Because God's fixing to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. But here's the problem. You can stand with me because I think you got the point. I know. Let's go back to Exodus, and I want you to see this. And so the angel, God, he went before them. Why? Why would? You see, God's directing you, and he's leading you with angel army. But there's this enemy behind you still, and you've got to take care of it. And I think this is what the church needs to hear. And some of you are still being chased by the enemy. You're still beat up. Those fresh marks on your back is still too fresh. Your babies are being snatched out of your arms and thrown into the river. And you still have a remembrance of it all. And you're worried about them coming back to stop you and bring you back into bondage again. I got a word for you from God. He sent me all the way to Moorhead for this purpose. Now watch this. And he camped Israel and removed and went behind them. The cloud that followed them. The Bible says it never left him. But he said there's certain times in your life where God says, "I got to leave you from the front. And you may not see me for a while or feel me. But don't worry. I'm behind you right now. Because there's an enemy that's chasing you. And I'm about to do a miracle. Do not turn your back. And don't look behind you." Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. And he stood behind them. Next verse. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And there was a cloud of darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, that no one came near to the other that night. And so God is holding back. And he's sitting between you and your yesterday. But he's not done. Because we're all right with that. The greatest miracle is about to happen. In Corinthians, it alludes to Moses leading Israel out of Egypt. And they were baptized in the water. It's a parallel to our baptism. And he said, then the Spirit came out of the rock. That rock is Jesus Christ. And it moved. And he was saying to the church, I want you to remember what I have done through the water, through the Spirit. Next verse. I think that's. And so Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, And the Lord caused the sea to go back, and the strong east wind, and the sea, and the dry land, and the waters divided. I said, then the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea, as frightening as they were, as skeptical as they were. But they walked on dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on either side. And the Egyptians, they paused for a little while. And they went in after. And even all, and it came to pass in the morning, the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of cloud. And a terrible, and they troubled the hosts of the Egyptians. And they took off their wheels. Begin to disarm and dismantle. Listen to me. And to cause confusion to where they have no more power and no authority to follow you. But it wasn't enough, church. You understand that the power of God, but you don't understand the great power of God. And the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea and the waters, and they come again upon the Egyptians. And upon their chariots. He set forth his hand, and the sea returned, and his strength. When the morning appeared and the Egyptians fled against it, the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. I'm here to tell you, not only God can dismantle your past and your enemy, but God destroyed it and covered it with water. Thus, we are buried with him in baptism. And we are risen with him in the newness of life. And old things are not still there. They're not following us. But old things have passed away. And all things become new. And this is where you're stuck, church. You're letting your past rise up. But God destroyed it. It's not there. Somebody, amen, ought to get a tambourine in their hand, and somebody ought to dance and shout, saying, amen, the host of the rider is swallowed up, amen, in the sea, amen, and my enemy is no longer, it's not behind me, it's not in front of me, it's not around me, but it's swallowed up in the sea, amen. God had destroyed every, oh, come on, somebody. Somebody in this room, Satan has been trying to convince that you never become. Thank you, Brother Nielsen. But I've been destroying your church, knocking down your pulpit, but I believe I've been knocking the walls of hell down, church. I believe the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. I believe right now there is a cloud behind you. Amen. Ready to destroy your enemy. But you must get up and you must walk through the open door and believe that there's victory. And God will swallow up your enemy and destroy it once and for all. Come on. It's time. Amen. For God to finalize. Jesus, if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. Hallelujah. Commit, amen, this service, amen, unto God right now. Let the Spirit of the Lord and his miracles and his wonders and his signs fulfill. Amen, church, I need you right now to believe
that God can do all things. It's not time to mourn the past. It's time to rejoice that the past is gone. Don't you give your past another moment. Don't give your mistakes another second. Those are gone.
Hallelujah. Seems to be no way. We trust you that you have the final say. You are the only one that seems to be no way. We trust in you that you have the final say. You are the only one that seems to be no way. We trust in you that you have the final say. We see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for
it. Not too long ago, God had spoken to a church where I was at. It was a very intimate, but I believe that God wants to speak to all churches in this way. And he said this, he says, I long for you to sit at my feet. He says, I want you to wipe my feet with your tears. He said, won't you put your head in my lap? He says, and I will whisper to you the great things of my kingdom. I long for you to weep at my feet. What God is saying to the church, you need to come back. Brother Nielsen, we need to come back. And just sit at the feet of the Master. And just begin to weep, not in sorrow, but in gratitude, a thanksgiving. There's that woman that took the alabaster box knowing that she was not part of what was going on, but there was something in her spirit. She broke it, began to wipe his anointing, wipe his feet and her tears, and began to dry his feet with his hair. She was rebuked of it, but the Lord had something to say about it. Even though that she was an outsider, it doesn't matter. When you fall at the feet of Jesus Christ. Listen, church, we got to quit seeking miracles and seek God. And miracles will come. We got to get back at the feet of Jesus Christ. We got to wipe his feet with our tears. We got to anoint his head. Amen. Hallelujah. And just love him over and over again. And you will hear from God, son. Young lady, mom, moms and dads, you're going to hear from God. Quit crying over your babies and cry and thank God for what you have. Amen. And wipe his feet with your hair and wash it with your tears. And God will whisper to you the great things of the kingdom. And miracles will come. Visions will happen. And you will dream dreams. Because my Bible says in Jeremiah that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. But you and I in the world. My sons and daughters will dream dreams. And young men will see visions. Daughters will prophesy. That's in the last days. Upon all of us. Then it was fulfilled in the book of Acts. This is that which was spoken. They're not drunk. And the world thinks that you're crazy, but I want you to know if the world paid attention, which 5,000 did that day, to realize it's not drunkenness, it's the Spirit of God moving and upon a few people that was willing to fall at the feet of Jesus and receive. Two things that God wants you to hear. Number one, if you're baptized in Jesus' name, he didn't just take a, you know, and just put a wall between you and your past. He destroyed your past in the waters of baptism. And you say, well, Brother Jones, what happened if I messed up last week? That's what the water's for in the blood. It's still forgotten. That's how powerful that is. Don't you look back and thinking your enemy is behind you. You look forward and look forward to what God is doing in front of you. The second thing I believe that the church is telling us is this, that we need to have a fresh move right here. Right here. Cry like a baby. Not a sorrow, but a thankfulness. You know, I transitioned my worship. You think I dance and shout and get kind of exuberant because, you know, that's my personality and, you know, that I feel the emotion of it. That's part of it. That's all right. But Brother Nielsen, it's deeper than that. It's because the love of truth. It's a thankfulness of God's salvation. And when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, I can't help but shout. I cannot help but cry. There's something, oh yes, it moves my emotion. But my emotion's not moving my emotion. It's the love of God and what he's done for me begins to move my, there's a difference. Amen. I don't dance to get emotion. I dance because I love him. Oh, come on, somebody. Because I love him, I cry because I'm thankful. Somebody ought to do that right now.
Hallelujah. If you're still praying, keep praying. But if you would like to leave, you're dismissed today. Hallelujah.